Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. KSJE is supported by San Juan Regional Medical Center, here to meet your urgent and emergent medical needs, whether they are COVID-19 related or not. Medical emergencies happen when you least expect them. Whether it's a stroke, heart attack, illness, or injury, San Juan Regional Medical Center's caregivers are here to provide care to you and your loved ones. Find out more online at sanjuanregional.com. Minutes past 8 o'clock. It is Thursday morning, July the 29th, 2021. Good morning, everybody. I'm Scott Micklin. Thanks for tuning in to KSJE 90.9 FM over the air, of course, here in San Juan County, 103.3 FM over the air in Durango, Colorado, and streaming everywhere on the planet from our website, including right to your smart speaker, KSJE.com. Welcome also to our viewers. This is a visual radio station, of course. We are streaming our video program this morning live to the KSJE Facebook page, our YouTube channel, and our Twitter account. We're glad that you are with us as well, everyone, and all of you create our great, great audience. You'll be hearing about some educational opportunities this morning between San Juan College and BayoTech. It's an organization involved with hydrogen. We'll talk about why BayoTech and San Juan College feel that hydrogen jobs are going to be a growth area in the future, what this means in New Mexico and in other places around the world. That's our conversation, which begins in the next few moments right here on KSJE. And then, of course, we remind you that our coverage of the 2021 Connie Mack World Series continues, of course. Today's schedule, a bit different than it has been earlier in the week, starts at noon with Midland taking on the Knights. And, of course, all these games now becoming very important as we get down to the final games of the World Series and crown a champion. So noon today at Ricketts Park, the first game will start. And then, of course, we'll have live coverage at 5:15 as the Renegades take on the Nighthawks. And then this evening's game at 7:30 are the Majors facing DBAT United. You'll hear all those games, of course, live on the radio here at KSJE and KSJE.com. We'll be on the air a bit before the starting time, of course, with our pregame show. And a reminder that we have the I can't call them anything but the best team of announcers who've been doing this for almost two decades, calling the games, their knowledge of the field, their knowledge of the teams, their knowledge of the community. We are so proud to have them working with KSJE this year in our coverage of the Connie Mack World Series. So tune in and hear what I'm talking about on the games today at noon, 5:15 and 7:30. We also invite you to connect with KSJE on our social media pages as well, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. And outside our studios this morning, it is a sunny morning on this Thursday, 70 degrees so far. We're expecting a mostly sunny day today, but still that increasing cloud chance in the afternoon, and another chance of a scattered shower or thunderstorm maybe popping up in the afternoon. The high today, tomorrow, and on Saturday, both 89 degrees all 3 days. Mid-60s overnight, 86 for high on Sunday, a little bit cooler on Monday with a high of 83, then back up to 87 on Tuesday, and as you can see, maybe once the baseball World Series is over, things tend to clear out and dry up, and mostly sunny skies beginning next Wednesday with highs back in the 90s. Joining me this morning to talk a little bit about some new potential for student programming and future jobs here in the San Juan Basin from the San Juan College School of Energy. Dean Alicia Corbell is joining us from San Juan College. Dean Corbell, good morning, and thank you for joining me. Great to see you.
It's always a pleasure to visit with you. Thank you for the invitation.
You bet. Thank you for being here this morning, and also joining us this morning from BayoTech, the Chief Technical Officer at BayoTech, Dr. Wish Krishnamurthy is with us this morning as well. Dr. Krishnamurthy, good morning to you.
Hi, Scott. Nice to join you today.
Thank you. Thank you for being with me as well. And so, Dean Corbell, let me come back to you and start with you talking about what brought us to this day, which was the signing of this MOU, if you will, between BayoTech and San Juan College to talk about some training programs for this new kind of field of, I guess, using hydrogen, correct?
Correct. There's a wide variety of applications that hydrogen will fit. So this has great potential, not only for our area and the economy, but also for transitioning energy workforce. And we see a very smooth landing path for those workers, high wage jobs, and careers that should last well into the future. So we're very excited that BayoTech has partnered with the School of Energy to be its training provider of choice for its field technician program.
Very interesting. And so let me turn back to Dr. Krishnamurthy about what those programs will be. And I was very impressed with your presentation. I just happened to see it at a San Juan College board meeting a few weeks ago. And there seems to be a lot of different areas that this technology can be used. And maybe take us through maybe a few of these and how that training will be utilized here at San Juan College.
Yes, thank you, Scott. So this was technology that came out of Sandia Labs, actually. So it came out of Sandia Labs. We've developed it to make hydrogen. The technology is an old technology that just uses methane and water and steam, actually, to make hydrogen from natural gas. So in this case, what we are doing is instead of having big centralized plants, usually they use this hydrogen for, you know, refineries to remove sulfur from your, when you're doing the refining process of your fuels, or they use it in agriculture. So they make the hydrogen for that, it combines with nitrogen to make ammonia, right? So that's the two major uses for this thing, making methanol and things like that. So these are big chemical plants and stuff. What we decided to do was take it and shrink the process so it can be distributed hydrogen. So the hydrogen can be at almost like your local station and you just make it on site. By doing that, we make the hydrogen very affordable and ubiquitously available. And that's the key. Why hydrogen? Hydrogen is the way to clean up the carbon in the world today. Okay, that's the way the whole world is going. So it's one way to get clean energy. So it's an alternate fuel to do that. And the beauty of doing it from natural gas is all of the skill sets you use for hydrogen making, for oil and gas business, can be pretty much seamlessly transitioned to hydrogen with a little extra training, and that's why we're doing what we're doing. As far as application goes, pretty much anywhere you can think of diesel, hydrogen will replace it. So like forklifts. Currently, actually Amazon and Walmart, all their warehouses, the forklifts are using hydrogen, not diesel anymore. You can use hydrogen to make power generators. So instead of diesel generators, you'll be hydrogen, which are very quiet and don't smell. Right? And of course, when you burn hydrogen or use hydrogen in fuel cell, the emission is water. So that's all you're emitting. Okay. So remember, that's why it's so clean. And so that's why the world is going to that. Buses, hydrogen buses, long haul semi trucks are going to hydrogen. Trains are going to hydrogen. Hey, even better fun fact is drones are going to hydrogen. You know, those drones you see, today, if you ever flown a drone, right, it lasts with all the battery you have before you had to recharge it. It'll last about, 10 minutes, 20 minutes. Even a big one will last you about a half an hour, 40 minutes. The hydrogen one can last you 2.5 to 4 hours, okay, with very little stuff. So actually, a funny little application is, Netflix is coming to Albuquerque, right? So a lot of the drones are used in the sets. And so those guys, first of all, for the drones, they change the battery like 8 to 9 times a day. Okay, imagine not having to do that and stop the shoot. Instead, you only change the battery like 3 times a day or 4 times a day, 3 times a day. That's kind of cool.
Right.
There's kind of lots of applications. Just think anywhere you would use diesel, you can use hydrogen. Okay. Or even somewhere in batteries, you use hydrogen.
Right. So, Understood. And I guess a lot of folks may think, though, that hydrogen is a bit of not necessarily unstable, but it certainly has explosive properties, as diesel does, and other things as well, correct? It's still something you want to be careful of and respectful of, isn't it?
Oh, totally, totally. It's hydrogen safety is extremely important. There are good and bad, right? Hydrogen has a, you know, at a very low temperature, it can combust. So that's one of the things. But also it's the lightest element. So when it does escape, it just goes up in the atmosphere and is actually released. In fact, in many hydrogen plants, people just vent the hydrogen. They don't worry about it. Because if the hydrogen pipe is high enough, you know, you can vent it. It'll go up in the air and it essentially dissipates, okay? And so it can be very safe when handled carefully. The danger is no different, Scott, as when early stage people were dealing with natural gas back in the day, okay? They didn't know any better, they were learning. So you can't think of danger of hydrogen as the back in the day of the Hindenburg days. We've evolved a lot since then. So we know safety a lot better. And so, yeah, so there's a lot of safeguards in place. In fact, there's a lot of natural gas regulations that are translated to hydrogen. And so that's what we use to pass code.
Right. And I guess, is that part of maybe the thinking behind BioTech's promotion of this localized manufacturing and localized use of hydrogen, rather than having to truck it or pipe it from place to place, of producing it locally? Is that a plus?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. There's actually multiple pluses to that. One of the biggest dangers of hydrogen is how much hydrogen you store at a time. So think of it this way. The more storage of a gas that is combustible, the more dangerous you are, right? So if you have distributed hydrogen, you have much, much less storage. You're like 1/20th the storage of normal, you know? So therefore, you have very little storage, so you have much less of a danger. The other thing is you don't want your roadways, all the gases all over the place. And that's another danger point. And since hydrogen is a very light element, you have to really compress it a lot to be able to get a lot in a container to be able to transport it. So each big transport container can carry only about 500 kilos of hydrogen, okay? So huge ones. And so those containers are also road hazards because they can't make the turns too well. So you can't really deal with it. So sharp turns, if you want to get it into your local, gas station or something, it's not so easy. So there's a lot of reasons why you want to do distributed hydrogen.
I see. And Dean Corbell, let me turn back to you a little bit about what Dr. Krishnamurthy mentioned at the Board of Trustees meeting, was that this technology is a good transition from maybe our traditional oil and gas economy into kind of what's next, because natural gas is a component of this technology that we're talking about, isn't it?
It is. And one of the things that BioTech intends to do is produce what is called blue hydrogen, which means, and I shouldn't be talking on top of Wish on this, but which means involving carbon capture. And we teach the basis of carbon capture currently at the School of Energy. So when we first started meeting with BioTech, we said, all right, what programs do we offer that are applicable to your app, you know, to your equipment? Well, our petroleum production technician, absolutely, they're going to be using methane. Compression, they're going to be using compression. Instrumentation controls, they'll have programmable logic controllers and, you know, troubleshooting on that, programming the hardware, industrial process operations, A to Z in that, and of course our industrial maintenance mechanic program. Then on top of that, they have need for graduates from our occupational safety degree program. So virtually any and every degree program that we have at the School of Energy is applicable to their needs, which means that students wanting to enter into this field should really get started as soon as possible, because they need to get their ground studies behind them, their introductory courses, and then choose which of those fields they'd like to specialize in. But it's really a good match.
Right. Interesting. And so what's the timeline, do you think, Dean Corbell, for getting some of these other programs or adding some classes to just kind of really fine-tune everything towards what BioTech is looking for?
So BioTech has told us the approximate number of technicians that they need by the end of the calendar year. We have students in the pipeline that we believe that if they're interested in going to work for BioTech, they'll be ready. The fine tuning, if you will, that we're talking about is an advanced credential that will be a post-graduation course of study. It will be short term, it will be very safety oriented, and then they should really be ready to go.
Got you. So it sounds like maybe just another few months after they complete their current field of study?
Yes, that's what we're targeting.
Understood. And Dr. Krishnamurthy, again, by selecting San Juan College, you are hoping that the college can train folks that could work with your company statewide, nationwide, region-wide. What's the limit?
There's multiple ways to think about this. I mean, to me, actually, I'm very glad San Juan College was actually interested in working with us. We feel very privileged because they already bring students who are excellent, by the way. So let me give that plug already, okay, right away for Dean Corbell, okay? Because I visited and I was very impressed with what they do, very practical hands-on training that the students get, and it's all very applicable, okay? One other thing, just as a connecting point is, right now, if you look at BayoTech's staff, 3/4 at least of them come from the oil and gas industry, engineers, scientists, the whole bit. So realistically, that's where we are going to get our talent pool from anyway. And having San Juan Community College nearby really helps us quite a bit right away. And also to that point, PESCO, which is a company in Farmington, is our manufacturing partner for the first 10 units and probably much more so from there. So we start from there with PESCO and manufacturing. So therefore, again, they already hire a lot of San Juan College students, and we expect them to continue to do so or enhance it actually when we go to hydrogen with their business. So as far as where they would be employed, it would be local like that, for example, in Farmington. Mm-hmm. And since our units are distributed, we are talking about trying to put units here in New Mexico first, and then probably in California, again, where the markets are. And so they would be working definitely locally, definitely nationwide. There's a probability they could even work international if they want to, okay? Because the industry is very booming in Europe and the Far East. So we will have units over there in a few years too.
And these units that you're talking about, and I'm sorry, remind us a little bit about what they're doing. And I think it's notable to point out that you already have a manufacturing partner who has already signed on to this, being PESCO. And so I think that's another another I dotted and T crossed.
Oh, yeah. We, to accelerate our development of this technology, we partnered with PESCO a while ago. Mm-hmm. Actually, they've been working with us to even build the prototypes for a long time. So manufacturing was essentially the next transition for them. So we've been very notional about how to get into the market from day one. This wasn't a kind of a science project and then, hey, tomorrow we'll kind of jump it over and somehow magically make it manufacturable. So we had that manufacturability intent from day one for this thing. So that's why. So they've been very good with us for a while. So.
Excellent. And these units that we're talking about, again, take me through a little bit about what they are and what they do with this hydrogen, correct? They're hydrogen generators or what we're talking about?
Yeah, they are hydrogen generators. So essentially, units will be, they're a multi-four. Recently, we've acquired a company here in Tulsa, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which is, which takes the hydrogen we make. They will compress, store, dispense, those kinds of things for it, okay, to essentially make it seamless to the end customer. And so just giving them hydrogen, give it to them in a form that they can use right away, you know, that kind of stuff. So they what the unit, depending on what we do, is going to be pretty much something that takes natural gas, or it may take biogas, okay? Whatever the gas stream is, it'll take it, utilize water, and heat the water up, create steam. And the steam and the methane containing natural gas mixture goes into what we call a reformer, makes hydrogen. So the unit is essentially a size of maybe a couple of cargo container size as far as footprint goes. A unit about that size will make about a ton of hydrogen a day. Okay, that's the goal. Just what that volume looks like for you, think of it this way. A truck, a long haul truck, will use about 40 kilos of hydrogen per fill up. Or a bus. A car will use about 5 to 6 kilos of hydrogen per fill up. So a 1-ton unit will fill approximately 200 cars a day. Okay.
Got
so
it.
That's kind of the thought process.
And it sounds to me then you're going to be making or manufacturing a lot of hydrogen with these units. And so as you mentioned, the use could be in transportation in drones, in forklifts, and things along that line. And so is there a demand for this, or is this kind of a chicken and the egg kind of a thing? Is when you build it, they will come. Once you have the supply of hydrogen, is there going to be products and transportation need for that supply?
The demand is already building, more so in Europe and other places. Here it's more so in California. But the demand is building quite a bit as we speak. And when the demand comes, the problem, Scott, is a chicken and egg problem. The problem is more affordable hydrogen availability. Because hydrogen does exist, there are applications. In fact, a lot of car companies already have hydrogen cars, okay? But they can't get the cars going quite a bit because the availability of hydrogen is limited and the cost of it is pretty high. Okay, you're talking about $12-$15 a kilo of hydrogen. We're talking about making it for $2. So when we make the hydrogen, our goal is to make it cheaper than diesel. So when you fill up a hydrogen vehicle or a hydrogen application, you're paying less than diesel. Okay, that's the goal. So by doing that, we believe that, you know, a lot more applications will come about, a lot more people will utilize it, and therefore, you know, you can see the applications coming. The analogy I give is usually like that of your smartphone, okay? I'm an old guy, so I was around when the smartphone first came out. You know, I don't know how young you are, Scott, but, you know.
I was going to say, I'll run for your money being old, let
okay.
me tell you.
But go so ahead. Then, you know what I mean, when the yes. smartphone first came out, okay, or even the cell phone, you know, when those things first came out, they were a novelty item, right, sort of. Like, well, you know, I don't know, we still have lovely computers that can do a lot more than the smartphone can do. Why would I need a smartphone? And by the way, oh, I have this little flip phone anyway. Why do I need it? What am I going to do with it, right? That's history, because as soon as you had the availability of the technology, the ability and the cost point that people could afford it, all heck broke loose, right? You
yes.
saw applications, kind of apps come on left, right, and center. Same thing will happen here, because the cost point is, why would you not use hydrogen if it's cheaper than diesel, right? And then that's the goal. So, you know, that's the idea. So anywhere where there's diesel, that's what's the first goal. And then we can go with gasoline or other energy, you know.
Sure. Well, and I can see how you probably have gotten the attention of the trucking industry if you can produce a fuel that's cheaper than what they're using right now. And I would assume that a lot of the trucks on the road today could be retrofitted to work with hydrogen, or would we talk about all new fleets of trucks?
No, I believe they can be retrofitted. There are companies out there that do retrofitting now.
Mm-hmm.
You know? They're a little pricey, but I can't tell you how much at this point off the top of my head, but they are retrofittable. But again, as more people use it, you know, and regulations, when they come in, that's a problem, because long haul truckers have problems with how long they can idle and
sure.
do various things. So their option is either go electric. Just to give you an idea, a big long haul truck will take over 2 tons of batteries to run the truck. Okay. The equivalence of that is probably about 100 kilos of hydrogen, okay, 50 to 100 kilos of hydrogen. So that's a big deal, because for long haul vehicles, tonnage is money, right? So essentially, that's the other way they win.
True. Understood. And I guess, Dean Corbell, going back to you a little bit about, again, the local economy here in the San Juan Basin. We've been an oil and gas producer, mostly gas, for the last 60-plus years, if not more. And so does this technology kind of talk about helping to extend the life of the gas fields here, create new markets for the gas if it's created and used to make hydrogen? Is that how you foresee this kind of being a boon to the local economy?
Absolutely. Anytime we can find a new channel that requires natural gas, that's a benefit to our local producers and therefore our local economy. So, yes.
Got you. And the producers that you've spoken to feel this is a viable option into the future and a growth option into the future?
Yes, I think they're excited about it, frankly.
Very good. And Dr. Krishnamurthy, I guess same question to you about talking with some of the natural gas producers who probably are looking for markets for their product to know that you can use their natural gas in these generators to create this hydrogen is something that they're interested in, obviously, talking with you about?
Oh, completely. Actually, there are multiple paths to that. One is it's not... They make money multiple ways. So the fun thing is, so you take natural gas today, it's what, $2, $4 an MMBTU, okay?
Whatever it is too low is what they tell me.
It's too low,
the
right?
The price is too low.
And that low number makes 5 times the amount of hydrogen, Okay, so if you take an MMBTU of natural gas, it makes 5 times the amount of hydrogen. If you look at the rough number, hydrogen to be equal to like diesel needs to be about $6 to $7 a kilo. Okay, so if you do the math, 6 5s 30 or 7 5s 35, so $30 to $35 you're going to make per MMBTU. Today you get $4. Okay, so yes, you're going to add some money to make it, a couple of bucks, you know, a kilo of stuff type of stuff. But hey, you're still now making $20, you know, instead of $4. So it's a big deal right away to monetize the natural gas in a better way. After all, it's a resource. Why not make more money out of it per unit, right? So that's one part. The second part is to what Dean Corbell said earlier, carbon sequestration. One of the only ways of allowed carbon sequestration, only ways of carbon sequestration is enhanced oil recovery. So you pump it down to enhance the oil recovery. Number two, you have to pump it down a depleted well. Or number three, you pump it down into some CO2 dome, okay? Well, guess what? We have all three available in our area, which is very rare, okay? So because of which we can carbon sequester right there. And enhanced oil recovery is very interesting because you make money out of the CO2 to some level. So even though you are spending money to sequester it, you're making money back. So in some ways, you're not paying to do sequestration, okay? So and that also enhances oil recovery. You get 15% more from your well. So, hey, now you're making even more oil from the same well. So really you can think about a, you know, win-win-win situation for oil field, owners.
Right. And let me ask you a bit about what your message is to the environmental folks who might just be, would rather have the natural gas kept in the ground and stop using it altogether. And I know there are some folks who feel that way in a very extreme position, perhaps. But what do you say to them about using it in this way, which is different than what we used it before?
Actually, you have a good point, you know, which is how do you make hydrogen is a question. At the end of the day, that's what they want to do, right? They want to make hydrogen. So the alternative to make hydrogen is what we call electrolysis. They're essentially splitting water, okay? You can split water with electrolysis, and that's how you do it. And what you do with that is you essentially use a lot of electricity to split the water, okay? So depending on where the electricity comes from, you can be clean or unclean, okay, fundamentally. But having said that, and that's a very expensive process too, to make hydrogen from that's like $15 a kilo, okay? In our case, if you do just natural gas-based hydrogen, you're cleaning up the environment approximately about 60% right off the bat, okay, compared to diesel. That's a big deal. If you sequester the carbon, okay, from it, you're going to clean up the environment almost 90%. Electrolysis cannot do that because you still need to find a way from well to wheels, okay, what is your carbon intensity? If you look at that, electrolysis is actually dirtier than what we are doing, realistically speaking. So the path is an equivalent path. I'm not saying one is right or one is wrong. There are equivalent paths, and that's what we are talking to a lot of people in the policy-making business. So people understand at the end of the day, it is the amount of carbon that's emitted into the atmosphere from well to wheels, all the way. You can't just say, don't look behind the curtain, just look at my process. Okay, you look at the whole thing. And at the end of the day, how much carbon is emitted for that? And in that, this technology is extremely competitive and probably better. Because electrolysis, you cannot use biomethane. You can transition this thing to biomethane. If you use biomethane, you go carbon negative. The other thing we can use this for is using flare gas. There's a lot of flare gas in the oil fields. Using flare gas, you can clean up the environment significantly.
Right.
In New Mexico alone, we flare approximately 1.9 million tons a year of CO2 just from flare gas. That's a lot.
And you're saying to be able to capture that and use it in this process to create hydrogen, that would be a way to do that, a way to use that flare gas in this process.
Yes, exactly. And so you would sequester the CO2 because we have the, right, you know, pipelines available for enhanced oil recovery and the wells and everything. So you would sequester the CO2. Why would you just pump the natural gas down? Why would you use it to make hydrogen and then pump the CO2 down? You know, you monetize it, you made money, and then you sequester the CO2 anyway. So what's the big deal, you know? So.
And that's the business plan. That's the idea.
Yep.
Right.
That's the idea.
Gotcha. And so I from our conversation, I foresee, and I feel I understand your vision of a world with these hydrogen-powered vehicles, whether they're trucks or even personal vehicles or cars or things like that. But we hear a lot about electric and battery vehicles, and I know you mentioned to me on a long-haul truck, battery packs for those types of vehicles would weigh an exorbitant amount, and that would cut back on their efficiency on the highways. And so hydrogen, you feel, is a better solution for these long-haul transportation problems that we have?
Yes, Scott, because at the end of the day, there are multiple problems with electric vehicles, okay? One is, of course, you need a lot, you know, it takes a long time to charge, right? I mean, even if you can do it, it takes a long time to charge. Here's a hydrogen fill station, it'll be almost seamless. It'll be like you're powering your gasoline car, okay? It's 5 kilos, you just put a dispenser in and you go. You know, that's the about a few minutes to charge and you're to fill up and you're done. Okay. So as an end user customer, it's almost seamless to you as to how it changes. You don't have to change your lifestyle and figure out how to plan around a charging station. Okay, that's one big deal. Second thing is, you've seen what happened in Texas when they had a cold front come through, you know, and everything shut down. The infrastructure does not exist to try to charge. If people go electric, you know, right now the California, which is one of the most electric vehicles in the country, okay, is only a few percent electric, okay, 1 to 2% electric. Imagine if they go 80, 90% electric. You know how much power needs to be generated? And by the way, that power needs to be clean power, not, you know, you cannot use coal, you cannot use natural gas, you cannot use, oil, all those things. So it has to be clean. Okay. So you have to think about how that's going to be done. The infrastructure is ridiculous, the cost that's going to be there to do that. So it is not a simple solution. There's a lot of issues with it. And when you start, it's a nice novelty right now to add it and say, okay, this is great and all's fine. But as you go forward, it's going to be really painful to be able to manage that, because you'll be having huge, huge, huge solar fields. Okay. To be able to, you know, build the power energy infrastructure required, you know, to be able to go all electric.
I hear you. It's all about capacity.
Yeah.
Right. And I think we all know that batteries really do not like the cold weather, whether it's in your car or in your whatever the case may be, but they don't at the current time.
And you have to replace them. Don't forget that batteries will get replaced every 8 to 10 years, okay? So your vehicle life, everything looks great, but then 10 years or so comes by, what are you going to do?
Right. Understood. But we hear a lot from the big car companies that they are investing billions in electric vehicles. And so are they wrong or are they just doing this first?
No, they're not wrong. They've been doing this for a long time. So that is one path, and a lot of work and effort is going into that. The batteries have come a long way. Okay. But it is incremental, and it's an alternative. I'm not saying you won't have EVs in the future, but you know, it is an alternative, but there's a second alternative. At the end of the day, one of them will win out, or maybe both will continue in different applications.
Right. Understood. And Dean Corbell, let me start wrapping up our conversation with you again about this opportunity for students here at San Juan College, whether present day students or future students, that this partnership with BayoTech promises to train these folks to work in this technology throughout the region. As I mentioned, they already have a production partner with PESCO, and that's got to be an important component of this program.
It most certainly is, and we all know and appreciate, respect PESCO and what they do, what they have done, and what they're really positioning themselves to do into the future. So we think this holds great promise, not only for our students, but for our entire region. And we're so excited to be walking hand in hand with BayoTech down this path.
And as far as the future job growth is concerned, again, Dr. Krishnamurthy seems to feel that it's going to be a growth industry, and there's going to be a lot of demand for these types of things as some of these new alternative energy, alternative vehicle propulsion systems get underway, and other uses as well.
Right. You know, when Governor Lujan Grisham first named the School of Energy as the Center of Excellence for Renewable Energy and Sustainability, we set out four areas of interest, and one of which was just to investigate hydrogen. Was there potential there? And what we found was amazing. And hydrogen has gained momentum that, you know, those of us who are not looking outside of our area don't really realize, but globally, there is a big shift towards hydrogen. So yes, we see wonderful potential. And in fact, Scott, I don't know if you know, but there's a power plant up in Utah that's being converted from coal-fired to natural gas. And Wish, tell me, I know this is in your arena, but I want to say by 2030, will then convert from natural gas to hydrogen for its fuel source. And we see that migration in a lot of regions. So yeah, we think it has wonderful potential for everyone.
Interesting. And Dr. Krishnamurthy, let me ask you about maybe that point and also just the global market for this type of gas that we're talking about, by creating more hydrogen for vehicles or other uses as well.
Yeah, I mean, people look at it as the fastest way to clean up the environment, if you think about it. Like I said before, there's a lot of infrastructure challenges for a lot of other types of things to happen. In this case, the infrastructure challenge is there, but it's not as bad. It can be localized, and therefore you can take care of it, you know? So if you want to get clean energy into the households, okay, and make it seamless to the customer, then this is the way to do it. And so it is a very big deal that way. That's how the world looks at it. And so, that's why the adoption has been quite fast, actually, in other countries too. Because remember, in those countries, the price of diesel and gasoline is much, much more expensive than here. So hydrogen's value proposition is much more real over there very quickly, even with the older ways of making things, okay? Of making hydrogen, I mean. So even at $15 a kilo, hydrogen has value in Europe, okay? Because only about, you know, their cost of diesel is probably around equivalent to a $12 hydrogen, okay? So it's pretty close. For us, that's not the case. That's why if we bring the cost of hydrogen down, the whole world can have hydrogen at a much, much cheaper level, right?
Right. Understood. And do we have a way to get some of this inexpensive hydrogen to Europe? We don't have a pipeline, but can we get it over there on a boat?
Or, no, we'll have plants over there, just like the system is distributed. Remember, we're not transporting it from here. We are using...
That's right.
You'd be in places where the natural gas is not available. There are two other choices. A lot of people are using biogas. So the same system will be applicable for biogas. Okay, that's a local supply.
Right.
They actually use transported natural gas. They're taking ships of natural gas and making hydrogen over there.
Understood. I see. But those workers will be trained here at San Juan College, I guess is the point.
Sure. At least our San Juan College will be excess of a curriculum
right. That
we exported to various places. So then, you know, Dean Corbell will be the star of the show for all kinds of places in, you know, in the world. She'll be a name, you'll be very famous, you know.
So, well, I think she already is, but I hear what you're saying.
She already is. Exactly. I'm saying around the world, you know.
I think
so.
Perfect.
He's already pretty famous.
I understand. Dean Corbell, are you ready for all that fame?
No. Wish and I do have a little bit of a different view on this. We intend to train the world's workforce here in Farmington, New Mexico.
Let's do it.
So when we can't keep up, then we'll look at other options. But until then, we intend to be the training provider for Bayotech.
There you go. Well,
and I think that's fantastic, Dean Corbell. I think that's we are cool with that. Because it's harder to, you know, when you have that curriculum in place, it's much easier to get more people into that curriculum in a place. It's very hard to move the curriculum around because different teachers, different instructors change the flavor very quickly. So you have to be very careful.
And that's what I always tell everyone that comes to visit. Our secret sauce are our instructors.
Yep. And they are excellent, by the way. Fantastic.
Thank you. I think so.
There you go. Well, and I know for all those trainees and future Bayotech workers, there's some brand new dormitories being built to house them as they come here for training. So. They'll be housed in state-of-the-art facilities. So, folks, we're out of time this morning. I'm sorry to say it's been a fascinating conversation on this new technology, and I really appreciate both of you for being with me this morning to talk about it. Dean Alicia Corbell from the San Juan College School of Energy, as always, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you, Scott.
Great to see you. And also, Dr. Krishnamurthy, great to see you again. I saw you at the board meeting, but thank you for breaking into your day to join us this morning as well.
Thank you, Scott. It was my pleasure.
Thank you both very much. Joining me this morning to talk about this new Memorandum of Understanding with BayoTech and San Juan College. I'm Scott Micklin, and this is KSJE. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.